From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. In just a few minutes, Dr. Alan Cairns will continue his studies in the life and earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Following the crucifixion of Christ, the disciples hid themselves for fear. Their hearts were cast down with sadness and disappointment. Yet in the midst of their sorrow, the risen Christ appeared among them, turning their tears into joy and gladness. As Dr. Cairns will emphasize, Christ does the same today for His suffering and grieving people. He appears for their comfort. Before pursuing this glorious truth, Dr. Cairns brings today's hot topic, Godless Britain's Barbaric Laws.
In a series of votes, the British Parliament stamped the United Kingdom as one of the most godless, depraved, and barbaric nations on earth. What? Britain? Barbaric? Surely not. Suave Britons leave that sort of thing to the religious nuts of places such as Iran or Saudi Arabia. But Britain also has its own religious nuts, only in her case, her nuts embrace the religion of secular humanism. Indeed, it sometimes appears they will embrace anything, just as long as A, it is not Bible Christianity, and B, it gives full scope to their unbridled lusts. Consider the following four votes taken in May 2008. First, by an overwhelming majority, Parliament voted against lowering the gestational age at which an unborn child could be killed by abortion. Currently, Britain allows children to be aborted up to 24 weeks, a standard that has been in place since 1990. To most members of Parliament, it mattered not that in many cases, children of less than 24 weeks gestational age could live outside the womb. They ploughed on anyway, determined that they would do nothing to slow the abortion, the slaughter, of some 200,000 children per year. They would not even agree to drop the legal limit for abortions to 22 weeks. It had to stay at 24 weeks. Even that is far from absolute, for Britain allows children to be killed by abortion right up to the time of birth in cases where children are considered heavily handicapped. Second, in a move to accommodate lesbians, Parliament passed a measure that removed from the in vitro fertilization law the requirement that clinics consider the need of a father in the life of the child so conceived. In other words, the in vitro fertilization law was passed to help married couples who could not conceive a child normally to do so with the help of medical science. Now Parliament has substituted the requirement of supportive parenting in the place of fathers, just to allow lesbian perverts to bear children without the inconvenience of a heterosexual marriage. Gordon Brown's government argued that current law, quotes, discriminates against lesbian couples. This is the sort of inanity that passes for argument in what was once proudly known as the Mother of Parliaments. Now depraved lawmakers want to play God and decree that childbearing should not be limited to marriage or even to male-female relationships. Third, Parliament voted to legalise the creation in medical clinics of part human, part animal hybrid embryos. An amendment to ban hybrids was defeated by a margin of 336 to 176. This was allegedly to promote stem cell research that may, notice no guarantees, may someday help with a variety of genetic diseases. The fact that stem cells may be taken from non-embryonic sources didn't register with the majority of members of Parliament. Fourth, Parliament also approved the creation of so-called saviour siblings, embryos created specifically in laboratories so that the resulting in vitro fertilisation baby can be a donor of bone marrow and other tissue for older brothers and sisters with genetic-based diseases. All of this is utter barbarism. This is what happens when a nation cuts loose from the moorings of a moral code of law that is based on God's word. Britain is not alone in its depraved indifference to moral integrity. Europe and the United States are travelling the same path, and it's a path to national destruction. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Very true, but never forget, the same book says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and the nations that forget God. Sadly, that's precisely what Britain has done.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the subject of angels. In 5 articles, various ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church deal with such matters as, what are angels? What is their ministry? as well as the topic of Satan and the fallen angels. Among other articles of interest in this issue, there is a focus on what the Lord is doing in the country of Peru. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that little word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
Redeem a dying sinner. Thank God there's one who shed his blood, who paid a ransom for your pardon and for your salvation, and who rose again a conqueror of death and the grave and of hell. That's why Peter later said, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Let me ask you today, is Jesus Christ anything more than a name to you? Is he anything more than a doctrine to you? Is he anything more than a figure of history to you? Has he ever become your Redeemer? Have you ever by faith entered into Christ and passed from death unto life? He's the destroyer of death. He is the Redeemer of sinners, and he is the security of his saints. For he says, I have died, I have risen, I have destroyed death, I've been the plagues of death and the grave. I redeem and I ransom my people from their power, and repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. There's no going back with Christ. He doesn't love you today and damn you tomorrow. He doesn't redeem you with his blood and then condemn you to outer darkness. He doesn't save you and drop you into the lake of fire. He doesn't come to you with his grace and then leave you without it. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. He is the security of his people. Christ died, lay under the power of death, yet his flesh saw no corruption. He rose from the dead, the destroyer of death, the redeemer of sinners, and the security of his saints. And thus he brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, giving to his people the promise, because I live, ye shall live also. I think, maybe I'm wrong in this, but I think most people, this may even set some of your minds at rest, I think most people, as they go through life, if they think about things, will be now and again hit with some shaft of the devil, some arrow of doubt. Most people have had to deal with that. Sometimes when you're down and you're depressed, you've failed and you feel as rotten as you can feel, as unworthy as you can feel, the devil will come and he'll tell you, well, maybe it's not true at all. You read some of the greatest preachers in history, and they have had to battle that insinuation of the devil. Maybe it's not true at all. Have you ever had to battle that? I can remember times in my own life when I was a young preacher. This is one time comes to mind, and I read the story of a Methodist minister in England who had been converted, just converted. He was a minister for years, and he had just been converted. What made his conversion different was that his was a conversion to atheism. Up in Canada, in Toronto, a very prominent figure, newspaper correspondent for church life and for church affairs, and a writer of some eminence, called on a lot by the TV networks up there. If you were to read his CV, you would find that he had been Billy Graham's right-hand man and an evangelist of some fame some years back. And he was converted to become a total unbeliever. When I read of the Methodist minister in England, just a young fellow, it was as if I ran straight into the devil face to face. This is the first time I have ever recounted this happening in my life. My wife never even knew of this. But it was as if I ran into the devil face to face. And all hell let loose in my own heart and mind. And every temptation and every insinuation. Well, there, he served for years. You're starting out in this ministry. He served for years. And he came to see the light that there is no God. And there's no Christ. And there's no heaven. And there's no hell. You can't just shrug your shoulders and say, well, I'm going to believe it anyway. You see, that's not faith. That's make-believe. There's only one thing to do, and that's to face it. But I found then, and I have found ever since, any time the devil insinuates any lie, calling in question any part of the divine revelation, there is one thing I can come to, and it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I don't understand a whole lot about many things, but one thing I cannot get away from. Jesus Christ died, and when I come to the story and the evidence of the resurrection of Christ, which I have studied as carefully and as fully as I am intellectually and spiritually capable of doing, I come to the place where my heart is bowed and my mind and will are overcome with the reality He rose from the dead. And as I have said 100 times from this pulpit, that's not just something you say and forget about. If Jesus died, see Him a stone-cold corpse in the tomb. If He died and was buried, and if on the third day He rose again, then nothing's ever the same again. I can't simply affirm that and go on and say, so what? So what? Everything's different now. This is the divine imprimatur on the entire revelation of Scripture, in the entirety of the Gospel. I can trust my soul, my life, my death, my eternity. I can trust everything to him. Why? Because he rose again. He brought life. He brought immortality to light. And he says to his people, I rose. Listen, he didn't need to die for himself. If his death doesn't affect us, it was a total waste of time, for he didn't need to die for himself. He didn't need to rise again for himself. He is the eternal Son of God. But he says, I rose in order that you should live also. And because I rose, you shall live. We serve a risen Savior. He lives. He lives. Oh, he lives within our heart. But he lives at the right hand of God. He lives in the most objective and real fashion. And therefore, we shall live also. We too must die, Christians and all, unless Christ should come before we die. We're going to die. Our bodies will grow stone cold and rigid. And they'll be put in the grave, and they will corrupt. But we will live. And those bodies will be raised again, incorruptible. We will meet our coming Lord, and we will be with him forevermore. For a while, absent from the body, we'll be with him. And for eternity, reunited with our body as he was with his, we'll be with him forever and forever. Christ has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So this was Christ and death. Let me say a word about having risen from the dead, Christ and his disciples. The Lord Jesus appeared, as we have read, to Mary Magdalene. If you were to turn back to Luke 24, you'd find that he met two on the way to Emmaus, and talked with them and broke bread with them. Then he met with Simon Peter. He met with the 12 without Thomas, and later with the 12 with Thomas. And he met his disciples again at the Sea of Galilee, as you'll find in John 21. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, 5 and 6 that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. That's a detail that the Gospels themselves don't give us. But Paul gives us. Somewhere in those 40 days, there was a gathering of over 500 disciples. Jesus met them all at one time. And Paul says the greater part of those people are still alive, even though some have fallen asleep in death. Now, if you examine Christ's appearances to his disciples, it's clear that they reveal four glorious relations in which the risen Christ stands with his people. First, he appears as their comfort. When the Lord Jesus met these disciples after his resurrection, they were depressed, they were dismayed, they were defeated, they were fearful. Mary was weeping. The two on the road to Emmaus were so depressed that when the Lord Jesus started to ask them why, they looked at him as if he were mad. They said, are you the only person in Jerusalem who doesn't know what has happened? Every time I come to that text, I threaten I'm going to come back and preach on it, because that to me is one of the most amazing texts in all the New Testament. Here they are talking to the risen Christ, and they're saying, the one who suffered that death, who knew all about it more than they could ever know, and they say, are you the only one who doesn't know what has happened? How crazy we are, how blinded by our unbelief. It's always true in our lives, you know. When unbelief takes over, you cry to the Lord, Lord, do you not know what's happening to us? Do you not understand our trouble? Do you not understand our tears? Do you not know what's happening or what has happened? Man, just stop and think for a minute how foolish that is. He's the only one who does know what's happened and what's happening. They were so depressed. They locked the doors of the room in which they met for fear of the Jews. They were overcome with hopelessness. There was no future for these disciples. They had burned every bridge behind them. They were known as the disciples. That's why they were so afraid, you know. They were known as the disciples. Peter had had a close shave in the house of the high priest. And they had no future. All their hopes were buried with the body of Christ. And then they met him. The very first thing he gave them was the comfort of his presence.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.